Morning, everybody. I just am always grateful for the worship team leading us, so I'd just like to give them a sign of our appreciation. Thank you guys for getting here early and getting us into the presence of the Lord and just enjoying worship together. Guess what I'm going to ask you to do? Turn to a couple people next to you or one person next to you and just take the next couple minutes to share a couple things that you are thankful for from the last 24 hours, something that has just really meant a lot to you. It can be something very simple. It might be something very profound. It might be something from our sessions. It might be something from experiences. But let's just take the next couple minutes, talk with a few people around you and share those things, and then we'll kind of pull back together. Talk amongst yourselves. All right, I'm going to pull everybody back. I felt like it was like a real slow takeoff of the conversations this morning. Is everybody a little tired this morning? That was the response was, All right, what were some things people wanted to shout out, something you're thankful for from the last 24 hours? Anybody want to say something out there? Our 13-year-old daughter wants to volunteer here as soon as she can. What's she doing next week? No, I'm just joking. I'm not in charge of volunteers. That's awesome. I love hearing that. Vulnerability of women this morning. Vulnerability of women at women's breakfast. I saw that the women were slowly coming into the session. Like, that's a good sign. That means good conversations and good food, I'm sure, too. Anything else? Somebody want to share something you're thankful for from the last 24 hours?
Thankful for family.
For family? Somebody was saying something up here, yeah? Praise God. Wow. I just love what God does each and every week when we're here and the way that he's in touch with each and every one of us right where we are. That's awesome. Praise God. Other things that you're thankful for? Okay, we'll leave it there. That's good. So good. Yesterday we were like thankful that the sun would hide behind the clouds. Now people are cuddling next to each other and praying for the sun to come out. So I love it. We live in Milwaukee, and people will say in Wisconsin, like, blink and the weather will change. You just don't know. See what happens. So thankful for the beauty of this morning in a different way. Let me just pray for us as we're going to spend some time in Scripture together, as you would expect. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Living God, you reign over all the earth. Every single square inch of creation is yours. From the land right under our feet to the far-flung distances of the universe that we will never behold with our eyes, everything is yours. Lord, thank you, too, that that's true of us, that we as human beings right now in this moment, we are yours. We are made by you and we were made for you. And so I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit present with us now, where two or more are gathered, that you, Lord, would draw us close to you, deepen our life in you, challenge us where we need it, encourage us where we need it, and bring us into a new territory, that spacious place of the abundant life, Jesus, that you promised through faith in you. As we open the scripture together, Lord, would you do something that I know I cannot do, which is, Lord, would you transform our lives through it? We give ourselves to you. We give our attention to you. I just pray for myself that I could decrease, Lord. I could just grow small, fade to the distance. And that you would increase because we are here for you, the living God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, Kelly and I, when we were first married, a little bit after we got married, we moved into our first house. And it was a pretty like simple house. It was an L-shaped ranch on a slab. The neighborhood that we moved into, nobody had basements, which I know in some places it's like not out of the ordinary. We were talking about basements Lyle that first night. In Illinois, where we lived at the time, basements were normal, so it was abnormal to be on a slab house. It wasn't much to look at, but it was our first house, and we loved it. But we were adapting to a lot of new things. We were relatively newly married. Then we had our first son, Isaiah, so we were adapting to being new parents, adapting to home ownership. There were so many things we didn't realize, oh, we have to take care of this. There's not like a landlord who we can call and will do these things for us. And there was just a lot of stress in those things, just normal stress. And one of the ways that I deal with stress is by getting outside. Maybe I'll do some yard work, or maybe I'll go for a run, or just go for a long walk. And so I don't know what the specific situation was this day, but I basically told Kelly, I'm headed outside to do a little yard work because I'm a little stressed. I don't think I probably said that. I wasn't in touch with myself enough to know I was stressed out. I was just like, I got to go out and do some yard work. And she's like, okay, yeah. Our backyard wasn't very big, but the back of the yard where we lived was really overgrown with all these shrubs and bushes. I don't even know what they were. I didn't take the time actually to figure it out. And there was some good friends of ours who lived on the other side of that bramble of bushes. And I just started trimming out the bushes. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had loppers and a little handsaw, and I just began eliminating the brush behind our house. And I was out there, I don't know, probably for hours. Kelly's like, yeah, I don't even want to talk about it, how long you were out there. I was just doing all this work, and I imagined, I guess in my mind, you know, this was encroaching upon our house. I was protecting my family, and so I was fighting a battle against these encroaching bushes. And then while I'm doing that, Kelly gets a phone call from our friends who live behind us on the other side of those bushes that I'm eliminating, our friend Laura. And Laura just wanted to know exactly how long I was going to be out there and how much of the bushes I was going to eliminate, because yes, we were friends, but it was kind of nice to have a little privacy barrier between the two houses. And so I think what Laura imagined in her mind was that I was going to create a desert between our house and her house. Kelly, thankfully, just let me do my thing out there, and I did not create a desert. But I did discover this along the way, that there's a pruning that can be helpful, and there's a pruning that can be hurtful. And that's true in working with shrubberies, I guess. Just wanted to say the word shrubbery. And that's true in our lives, too. We're in this exploration of Psalm 1 this week. I want to read the psalm again. I just like reading the whole thing. It's not that long every day. This is what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Now we talked about like what it means to be planted in God and what it means to be nourished by the word of God, by God's communication to us through the scripture. We've talked yesterday about what it looks like for us in our lives to be fruitful, that it doesn't just come from us like willing it to happen, but our life in God and God's life in us, whether that's the beginning of our journey with God or our ongoing abiding in the Lord that we tilted into John 15 just a little bit about. And I want to just come back to this verse 3, and then look at something from verse 6 and use these as a launching off point again into John 15. Remember that the psalmist says the blessed person, the person who's overflowing with God's goodness, the person who is flourishing and entering into the abundant life with God, is a person that's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, if anybody's ever worked with trees that are fruit-bearing, you do know that pruning is required for fruit-bearing. I shared a story just I think it was yesterday because we were outside. Talked about this apple tree we had in our backyard that was so beautiful and big, and people would like come from our neighborhood and pick apples off, and I didn't spray it, but they tasted amazing. And that one morning I woke up and that the apple tree had split into three pieces and was laying on the ground. This is a huge tree. I mean, for an apple tree, it was huge, and it had just split. And the reason why was because I did not prune it the way that I should have. And so it actually broke under its own weight. Pruning is part of the process that helps fruit-bearing trees bear fruit well over the long haul. And notice what it says in verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. I just like that. I don't know what your conception of God is, but this is not like the creepy, like God out to judge you and cause harm in your life. Like, I'm watching over your shoulder. This is the God who owns everything and yet knows us individually. I mean, that, like, you could just sit with that truth and think about that for a long time. The God who, it says, made everything, right in this moment, knows you and me individually and personally. He watches over our life. And one aspect of that, I believe, that's relevant to what we're talking about today is that God watches over us that we might bear fruit. And part of that is that he actually brings pruning into our life. This is where I've got to go over to John 15, which I find these two passages to be beautiful parallels to one another. John 15, where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. And I just want to read the first two verses and then spend some time talking about what it means that God prunes us. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He watches over the plants. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Living like trees, planted in God, nourished by his word, means that we need pruning. Right out of the gate, this first verse raises a lot of questions for us, and so I just want to focus on this word pruning for just a little bit. The word has the sense of something being made clean. In fact, if you had the King James Version of the Bible open in front of you, it actually wouldn't use the word prune, it would use the word purge. Because the word literally means for something to be cut clean. Cut clean, it means that something is removed so that healing can come, and it's only in the context of sort of agriculture or that kind of a setting where the word pruning would be the appropriate translation of this. We talked a couple days ago about the nourishment that comes from the word of God, just verse 3, where Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." That's the same word for pruning. You're already clean, you're already pruned, you're already cut clean because of the word. The word nourishes us. It also corrects us and refines us and brings us close. And this whole idea of being cut clean by the word of Jesus under the care of God, who is the master gardener or the arborist of the trees of the Lord, it connects with something else that's happened just a little bit before this. And I just, if I'm going all over the place, sometimes that's just the way that my brain works. Just a couple chapters before this, you may remember that Jesus drew aside with his disciples in the upper room. That's where all this teaching of John 15 is happening. It's not happening at Fort Wilderness. It's not happening out in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's happening in the upper room. And just before that, Jesus has washed all of his disciples' feet in John 13. This passage is astounding. Judas is there. Jesus washes his feet before he leaves. And Jesus says this in John 13:10, "You are clean, though not every one of you." Same word. "You are clean, though not every one of you." The "not every one of you" is a direct reference to Judas, the betrayer of Jesus in his way. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But the pruning that Jesus is talking about in John 15 is an echo of that cleansing that comes through Jesus Christ alone. He is the only perfect sacrifice. His blood is the only thing that can cleanse us. But here he's talking about his word being a nourishing that also keeps us on track and moves us in the right direction. Jesus is the word, but he also gives us God's word. And it says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it is penetrating even to the dividing point of spirit and soul, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Jesus' word is the right tool to prune us, cut us clean in our lives. This is one of the reasons why when we talk about the nourishing of God's word, it does nourish us from within, but it also sometimes does a work to keep us from growing off course and brings us back to what the life that God has for us. It is an important reality that the word of God sometimes cuts us back into shape so we can live life with God. Jesus' word cuts sometimes. And ultimately, if we let it, it will guide us into the ways of God under the power of the Holy Spirit, because the pruning through the word of Christ, it has a purpose. And this is where Jesus' pruning is so different from the pruning I did in my backyard. What I did when I went in my backyard is I went out and inflicted my stress on a bunch of plants. Not a great way to be an arborist or a gardener, right? A master gardener doesn't wake up in the morning and go, "How can I ruin the world to make myself feel better?" Like, that's basically what I was doing. If somebody would have told me that, I'd be like, "No, I'm not." But that's kind of what was going on. Jesus and the Father as the master gardener working with the word of Jesus, check this out, he does not prune us to inflict pain upon us. He prunes us so that he might work out his purposes in us. And his purposes, it says here in John 15, 1 through 3, are that we would become more fruitful. And this is such good news. God is not haphazard in his pruning. God is not meaningless in his pruning. It is something he does to bring forth his fruit, his life in us. And we're going to come back to different types of pruning. It is the life of Christ flowing through us that the Father wants to make sure is getting into every area of our life. And if like one branch of our life starts to kind of go off course, the Lord might prune that back so that we can really be filled up with the sap of Christ. That's not a biblical term exactly, but it's kind of implicit within these things. Jesus comes to give fruitfulness, and the pruning of the Lord has purpose. It's not haphazard. There are times in our life where it may feel haphazard, and we'll come back to that too. There's so much in this passage about this. I want to jump down to verse 6 of John 15. Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. What do we make of this? You know, like there's a lot of discussion about whether, you know, is Jesus talking about throwing people into hell? There's a lot inside of this. One strand of thought on this is that actually the master gardener lifts up the branches that aren't bearing fruit so that they'll be brought into the light, that sometimes in a certain like grapevines, the vine and the branches, that the some of the branches might be like actually pinned up or tied up so that the light might get to them better, that they might become fruitful and not fruitless. The word actually in the that the NIV translates as cuts off in the ESV or NASB or King James is all taken away or lifted up. And so it actually might be that this is a grace of the master gardener to bring fruitfulness, of lifting these vines up that they might bear more fruit. There's also the sense that they would be carried away because they have become fruitless. But I believe what's happening here is that these phrases telling us that there are ways that we can actually cut ourselves off. We can like stop up the sap of Jesus' life, the sap of Jesus' word from flowing into us, and we need to pay attention to that. Judas was one who did that. Jesus said, you're clean, but not all of you. And so it's a warning, I think, in this passage to say, am I submitting myself to the pruning, to the will of God, to the way of God, to the instruction of God, so that good fruitfulness might really come forth in my life? And this is just a place where it's probably appropriate just to say to all of us, if there are ways we are getting off course from the teaching of God in our lives, it is a grace of God for us to be stopped in our tracks and to come back to the word and to come back to remain and to plant ourselves again in the Lord, and to be nourished again by his word, and to let him bring fruitfulness as his life is in us and our life is in his by faith. God is not eager to deal out judgment and punishment. I don't believe God is eager to meet us with mercy and grace, but be today like those who run back to the Lord. I think again and again of that story of the prodigal son. It's really the story of two lost sons. One wishes his father dead and runs to a far country and squanders all the wealth he has on wild living, and then comes to his senses in the middle of serving pigs and says, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm a complete loser. I should just like go back home and pretend I'm a servant and maybe my father would take me in. And so he does that. And before he even gets to the road, like where the road goes off to the house, the father sees him and runs down the road and embraces that son. And before he can get the fullness of his little speech out, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against your ways. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Would you take me in? As when the father's like, forget that. I'm going to bring out the best robe. Hey, kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a party. Because the son that I thought was dead is now alive. This is the heart of Father God for those of us who have run far away. He is running after us. And after the party's happening, the older son, who's been so faithful and so good in the house, he hears there's a party and he walks close to the house and he asks one of the servants, hey, what's going on? Your brother who we all thought was dead, has come back home. It's like he's alive and we're having a party. And the older son's like, so lame. And he hides out. He like won't come into the party. The sulking older son. He's been so good. He's been so faithful. And you know what the father does? Just like the father ran out the road to the younger son, the father comes out of the house to the older son. And both of those actions are shameful for the father. That the sons would make this guy run out and then come out of the party to like get the sulking son to feel better. This shows you how far God will go. He is fine with being, that sounds weird, looking bad so that we can encounter his goodness. Father goes out and talks to the older son way back. He's way over here by the drum set because he wants to hit things. Maybe, okay, I'm getting off course. He's out there and the father says, son, come on into the party. Don't you know your brother who's, he was like dead and now he's alive. Come on in. And the older son's like, this son of yours. He doesn't even call him his brother. People have pointed this out probably to you before. This son of yours, what a jerk. Wish you dead, squandered all his money, and now you're partying over him. And I've been here, I've been so faithful, I've done everything you've asked of me. I'm such a good son. This is what he's saying, I'm so righteous, Dad. And the father says, son, you've been with me, and everything I have is yours, which is actually true. Because when the father divided his property, one half went to the younger son and one half went to the older son, and everything he owns is now the older son's. But he says, but this son of mine was dead and is now alive. And we're left to wonder, will the older son come in? This is actually a parable kind of knocking on the door of the religious people who thought they were so good and asking them, do you want to come into the Jesus party or not? Anyway, all this is kind of seems like far off, but what we see within all of what's happening in the upper room in John 15 and the stories in Luke of the parable of the prodigal son and the older son who's bitter is that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to the full life. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Within what's going on in the sermon here in the upper room in John 15, and this whole idea of pruning is that there are things that God will point out. Some of us will be in far countries, and some of us will be right at home, apparently with God, so righteous, but God may want to continue to do pruning work so that we might have life and experience the abundance in him. And I don't know what part of the spectrum, if it's the younger son to the older son, I'm not sure where you find yourself, and hopefully we're living in the land of grace, not in this spectrum between profligate living and self-righteous living, but sometimes we can move towards one side of that, and I think inside of all these things is the Lord is inviting us into a pruning experience where we can hear that invitation, the warning that's also an invitation from the living God. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, there's a parable as a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went out to look at all the fig trees, and he went through the vineyard, and then there was this one fruit tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. This is Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9, and the owner says, just cut it down. It's been 3 years. It's not borne any fruit. Just cut it down, and the man who's tending the trees, the fig trees for the owner, he says, oh, just give it one more year. And the owner's like, oh, okay, you take care of it. And Jesus says, inside of that is a little bit of the heart of God. Just give it one more year. Just give him one more moment. Just give her one more month, Lord. Just give more space. It's like God longs just to give more, just to give more, just to give more. And so as we return to this theme of pruning, Jesus' word is the right tool that makes a clean cut, a healing cut in our lives. And ultimately, if we let it, it will guide us into the ways of God, an invitation to also turn back to God, but also an invitation to enter into the full life. The word of Christ comes with a purpose into our lives. And so when we think about all this kind of background on pruning, the heart of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the warning of God that comes, and Jesus' invitation that there's a pruning that happens, a cutting clean, I'd just like to talk about three different types of pruning in the time that I have left. And the first one is this: it's pruning related to sin. For our first example, a gardener may prune a part of a bush to get a disease out. There's this tree in our backyard that developed a disease in it, and I had to cut part of the tree away. And actually, my son David, who's 19, we were just out in the backyard about a few weeks ago, and he was like, "Man, that thing, that trunk looks a little messed up." Because in the trunk of this tree, there's this like spot, it's like a notch out of the middle of it. And so the tree has like grown like this weird like thing around it. And I was like, "Well, that looks weird because we had to get the sickness out of it. And so it's going to be marked forever by that thing. But if I hadn't gotten that sickness out of the trunk of the tree actually would have been dead. And instead, it's one of these most beautiful trees in the midst of our backyard, very vibrant. In our spiritual life, there are times when God may just need to cut out sin, and it may look a little ugly. It may leave some scars on our lives. Part of my own story in our family is, and my dad wouldn't be ashamed of this, of me talking about it because he talks about it all the time, is my dad became an alcoholic later in his life under pressures of work, and finally admitted that he had an alcoholic problem, but it wasn't enough to really get him to stop, and so he ended up having this accident where he almost died, thrown out of a car in the middle of Illinois farmland, and the only reason he survived is because a farmer's wife was standing on the edge of her porch and saw someone shoot out of their car and land in a field and called 911, flight for life. My dad went into unplanned detox for 6 weeks in a hospital. His body was so broken. And when we talk about that journey as a family, my dad still has scars to this day. Some parts of his bone structure are so distorted because of that accident. You wouldn't know it if you saw him. But we talk about that not as something to regret, but as a life-changing event that actually God used. It's not a pruning you would desire, but God used it to cut some sin out of his life. And after that, my oldest son was 1 year old. After that, now my kids think my dad is the man. They love my dad. He is the best grandfather ever to these boys. And as my kids have grown up, and now my oldest two sons are married, they love the fact that my dad is sitting in the front row when they're getting married. Thank God. It almost cost him his life. It would have if that hadn't happened, because he would have been a ruined man caught in his sin. Friends, there may be some things that God wants to prune out. It might get a little bit messy. It might be painful. But it is better to let the master gardener who has purpose cut out sin so that we might have his word flow into lively places in our life. One way we can allow that to happen is just to compare our lives with things like the Ten Commandments that we read in Exodus 20, or go through the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and just say, "Lord, is there something that you want to highlight in my life that's an area of sin? Not that I'm going to be perfect, but that I might plunge it under the flow of your grace and then lead it into a place of transformation by your Spirit's work in me." That first pruning is related to sin. And the second pruning is actually related, I think, to service or religious activity. For our second example, the gardener may prune to help a plant grow more fully when it has become overgrown. Just think about that apple tree in my backyard. It broke under the weight of its own fruitfulness. It broke under the weight of its own fruitfulness. It became so big, so beautiful, so unwieldy that I failed to cut it back because I didn't want to ruin what was looking so good, and it destroyed itself. There are times that we need to remember that John 15 was actually written to Christians, that they might be pruned back to be most fruitful for the Lord. There are times where busyness might look good, but actually might be hindering us from God's best in our life. And the Lord may come to actually pull us back from a whole variety of things so that we don't break under our own weight. This is an important thing for many of us. There are times where pruning comes that God pulls us out of areas of service or pulls us out of certain times. Maybe it's a changing season of life. It's not so that we stop serving. It's so that he can use us in a new way so that fruitfulness might come in our lives in a new way. Kelly and I are empty nesters now, so we're asking the question, God, what is it that you have for us? And one of the things we've realized is like the spread of our life is so wide that he's actually calling us in some ways to step back from certain things so that other things that might be more essential might become more fruitful in our lives. We still don't know what the answer to all that is, but we're listening to the Lord. Some of us in this place need to just actually get out and serve for the first time. Don't use this as an excuse to be like, oh, I just need some like pruning from activity. Like God's pushing you to serve. We talked yesterday about like the fruitfulness, you know, that needs to be shared. Like don't be stingy, like kids don't pick the apples from my tree. Like God gives us fruitfulness so that we can share it. But there's some of us that have just shared so much that there's actually nothing left on the inside and the tree is sagging under its own weight, the tree of our lives, and God wants to prune us back so that we might actually find that full life in him. I don't know what that would look like in your life, but I do know that there are times where God may redirect us, pull us back, cause us to go into a pause or lead us into new territories, and we need to pay attention to that good pruning that comes with purpose from the Lord that we might have his pruning related to service. And here's the third thing, okay? The pruning related to sin, the pruning related to service, and then thirdly, the pruning related to circumstances. There are times when a gardener has to prune because of what's happening around those trees. When we lived in Maquonago, which is this kind of southwest of Milwaukee. Southeast would be in Lake Michigan. Southwest of Milwaukee. There was this huge tornado that went through and it just annihilated some forests, but you could actually see the lines of the tornado through the forest. It was insane. So we drove to this town called Eagle and you could like stand and there'd be forest here and an empty space, like straight through. And because of what happened, some of the trees that still were standing were very damaged. And so some of the folks who from the Forestry Service actually came in there because of the circumstances around that and had to prune some of the standing trees, not just get rid of what was on the ground, but prune some of the standing trees so that they would be able to live well. Sometimes there are circumstances that happen in our life. We did not choose them. There are things that happen to us that God wants to take in his hand and use as part of his pruning in our lives. It's not like because we're sinners that this suffering came on us, or it's not because we're bad people that this is happening in the society around us, but God will take those things in his hands if we will give it to him and will use that to shape something new in us. There's a lot of different things that God will use. Sometimes it might be suffering. I don't want to do a hand raise. Hey, have you ever suffered in your life? That's all of us, right? But there are ways that we can bring our suffering to God. We would not choose suffering. But when the circumstances of our life bring suffering, we can either fight against it with all of our might, we can lament over it, which is an entirely appropriate response. Lament is a healthy, healing thing. Look at the Psalms, it's in there. But we can also take that and place it in the hands of God and say, God, in this suffering, I give it to you. I think of my dad in that accident, 6 weeks in the hospital. I was the first one to the hospital to see him after the accident. He said to me, I made a mistake. I was not in the best place. I said, yeah, you did. But then we journeyed together and brought that to the Lord. And my dad went on a journey through AA and with his journey with Christ that put him in a deeper place with the Lord. He could have just been bitter. We all could have been bitter. But we went as a journey as a family through that circumstance to let God use that. I don't say this simplistically. Don't think I'm saying this simplistically. Let God use that for his purposes in our life. God is such a good gardener that no suffering, let me say this thoughtfully. God is such a good gardener that no suffering circumstance can't somehow be used in his purpose. I'm not saying he brought it to you. We could get in a big conversation about sovereignty and providence. But I'm saying God can bring that thing in his hand and bring fruitfulness out of it. I don't know what your suffering is. I could name a lot up here of my own. It's never simplistic, but that's one of the circumstances God can use for pruning. Here's a second thing. God can use a wilderness time. Sometimes we find ourselves in wilderness wandering. It's like the people of Israel after the Exodus. Some of that was caused by sin, but the next generation, they were still wandering. Sometimes God invited people out into the wilderness. Hey, we talked about Elijah who ran away after the prophets of Baal incident on Mount Carmel and then ran all the way down to Mount Horeb and in the wilderness. There in his depletion, in his weariness, he encountered God. There are sometimes circumstances that lead us into wilderness, and God can use those things too to bring glory to his name. If we will, in the wilderness wandering times, the dry times, reach out to God and say, God, will you meet me there? There may be times, St. John of the Cross says, where God will almost seem to pull back from us, and that he does that so that we will reach out further to him, like the deer pants for streams of water. I'm so dry, Lord, I need you, that we will actually lean further towards God in the middle of those things. And sometimes God will bring that pruning in our lives through our circumstances and the wanderings that we might desire him more than anything else. It's not something we would wish upon ourselves, but God can use all those things. To live like trees means that we'd be planted in God, means that we'd be nourished by God and his word, means that we'll be fruitful as our life is in God and God's life is in ours by faith. And it also means that God will prune us, and he does it with purpose. Sometimes related to sin, sometimes related to our activity and service, and sometimes in relation to circumstances. Think back to that experience I had in the yard, hacking away at those trees, inflicting my suffering and stress upon the world. I'm so glad that when we think about what God does with pruning, it's not like that at all. It's the hands of a master gardener who knows how to bring life in each individual tree and plant. It's the hands of a loving father who loves us more than we understand and is always seeking to give more space, more time for us to encounter him. It's a hand of a God who owns everything that we see, the beautiful sky and the clouds and all these birch trees and other trees around us, and even owns us and longs for us to know him and walk with him. May we, friends, be like trees in the hands of God the Master Gardener who prunes and refines. Amen? And let me pray for us. Living God, you are so good. Each and every one of us in this space, we are all unique and our stories are unique. And so I just want to pray over anybody who's here in the amphitheater in this session today, Lord, who's going through a time where sin is being highlighted for them or they're struggling with it in a very strong way. I pray, oh Lord, that you would bring freedom, bring the pruning of your word to bring guidance, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring deliverance and freedom in their lives right now. Come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray over anyone who's in this space, who's going through a deep time of suffering. I pray that nothing I would say would have trivialized how intense suffering is. But I pray over them as well, Lord, that you would meet them profoundly in the midst of the suffering, and that you would give them power, Lord, to place it in your hands. And to give you permission to be the pruner even through suffering they wouldn't desire. Lord, I pray over anybody who's in this space who is wandering. It's not a wandering without faith, but it's a time of dryness, a time of where the path isn't clear. Pray, Lord, that you would clear away anything that's hindering them from seeing you. Come, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that even the prophet said the time in the wilderness was the place where you were found. For each and every one of us, Lord, no matter where we're at, Lord, just take us, grow us, bring greater fruit even through your pruning work in our lives. And bless us in this day, Lord. Give us a wonderful day as the sun starts to peek through the clouds. Lord, we just thank you for the beauty of this place. We pray for the blessing over each and every one of the staff members and volunteers who are serving us through the course of this week. We pray, Lord, that you would renew them, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them joy in what they do. Thank you for who they are and for what they're doing for all of us here this week. And be glorified in us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just wanted to mention one thing. Jonathan was talking to me beforehand, and he mentioned something about baptism. And I also just wanted to mention, if you have questions about baptism, if you're part of Zionsville Fellowship, as a pastor, I'm always like, talk to your pastors who are here. I just want to encourage that. I also want to make myself available to anybody who wants to talk about that, or if there's something that's just the Lord's like bringing something up for you, you want to talk about it. I mean, I'll be up here for a little bit after this session, and then I'll probably go to, actually I will, I'll just say, I'm going to go to the coffee shop after this session, so if you have availability then, I'll just be over there if you want to talk. I'm happy to do that, just be around. But so thankful to be with you guys this week. This has been a huge blessing to me and grateful for this time. And here's Craig. Don't you just want to give him, just look at him, you just want to give him a round of applause. Just love this guy.